What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. If you're a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I'm a former head of medical performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get amazing results. If you are sick of dodgy influencers or people with amazing genetics giving you health advice online, you're in the right place, because every week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet. We discuss relevant topics and we help you get clarity and evidence on all of these topics so you can make better decisions on your own health and fitness journeys. I'm going to be joined by Dr. Nancy Allen, registered GP and founder of CEO and GP Direct Online. Also, we'll shortly be joined by Maggie Collette, who is a certified POS psych coach, motivational speaker, Hay House author, and founder of the global health empowerment brand Think Like a Boss. But first of all, we're going to start with some listener questions. So, I'm trying to clean up my diet without getting obsessed. How do I find that balance between eating healthy and still enjoying life? This is a fantastic question, and actually probably one of my favorites we've received in a while. So, cleaning up your diet doesn't just have to look like chicken, rice, and broccoli, okay? The 80-20 split is one of my favorite things. So that's 80% of half-decent foods, things that aren't kind of too processed and aren't kind of, you know, the food pyramid's a terrible example because I just think it's a poorly used system. But long and short is you don't just have to eat boring foods, okay? You can make your own sauces. There are zero-calorie alternatives. You can make stir fries, but you can pack them with more veg. You can pack them with whatever you feel like you enjoy. Green vegetables are basically free calories. Like, you would need, I think it's like 400 grams of broccoli to have like 100 calories. That's ridiculous. No one eats 400 grams of broccoli in one serving. So stir fries are great because you can get high protein, low fat, half decent carbs. You can also have a sauce base with that. Do not cut out food groups. So that means do not cut out carbs. Do not forget carbs. That is a terrible idea. If you do that, then you're going to cause yourself problems because you're not trying to go keto. You are basically trying to get good balance. Okay. And the enjoyment in life doesn't have to come from avoiding foods. So, like I said, balance is super, super key. And if you can get that happiness from a few bits and bobs of some chocolate here, some sugar-free alternatives, all of that kind of stuff, then that's absolutely great. Right, guys, we are now joined by Maggie Collette, who is a certified positive psych coach, motivational speaker, Hay House author, and founder of the global health empowerment brand Think Like a Boss. Maggie, hello. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. How are you,
George? I'm good. Thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate it. Right, let's dive straight into the questions.
Sure. Yeah?
So, what inspired you to start Think Like a Boss?
I'm just going to rewind 8 years or so to my previous career, because it was actually a moment that happened on a plane. So I used to be in the corporate world.
Okay.
And I used to work in the private banking industry. And it was very fast paced. You know, I had a lot of stress, anxiety, burnout. And I actually collapsed en route to Mexico City, which is where I was going for work.
Okay.
Now, the stewards brought me round and they said, you know, at the time I was mortified. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm so sorry. And they said, oh, no, don't worry, honey. It happens to our business passengers all the time.
Really?
And that was the light bulb moment for me that made me almost stop me in my tracks. And I said, you know what? No, this does not get to be my new norm. So that was a really pivotal moment in my career at the time, because that was the almost like the point that made me decide to take the courageous move and walk away from that industry that I'd been in for over 11 years. And I decided that I wanted to create something on my own. So I walked away from that. I went traveling for 6 months to find myself. And then I decided that I wanted to build something myself. I wanted to start my own business, my own brand. But more importantly, I wanted to start a community which really empowered people to believe in themselves and to just take the jump and do something a little bit different, and to also really focus on their health and their well-being, whether it's physical, emotional, or mental.
Yeah.
And we all know the impact as well that being in a stressful environment can have on your day-to-day. So that's really what inspired me to go on this crazy journey where I've created an incredible brand that's you know, that my content lands with millions of people every single day. And it's just, I'm just here to just help people almost like realize that there is more out there, and to listen to the nudge inside and to listen to their body as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you did, didn't you? You literally listened to your body, and it was your body telling you enough's enough, and you realized and you took the jump, and here we are.
Yeah.
Talking about it. So that's exciting. I love that you've built community. That's, you know, that's a big thing. And I feel that a lot of people don't focus on that side of things. They focus on me, me, me. But it's actually, there's so many people that have, you know, we all have our differences and variables, but we're all wanting to work towards similar goals or whatnot. So what does thinking like a boss really mean to you?
So you can be doing absolutely anything, okay? So it's not specific about being an actual business owner. It's almost taking charge of your own life. It's standing in your power. It's taking control back instead of giving it out to other people, which can be so easy to do, especially in the workplace.
Yeah.
And it's actually really just getting clear on, okay, what is it that I want? What is it that makes me happy? What is it that lights me up? What is it that makes me feel good? So it really is that power piece of taking control of your life. And also you get to hire, fire and promote accordingly, you know?
I mean, yeah, that's fun.
So if you're surrounded by friends or, you know, people in your inner circle, I'm sure you've heard of the saying, you are the average of the five people that you spend most of your time with.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
And if they're not supporting you, if they're not uplifting you, championing you, then that's just something to really think about, you know?
What happens if you don't have five people?
There are so many incredible networks and communities out there. So if you're feeling right now that you're almost a bit of a lone wolf or you haven't found your people yet, then really think about what it is that you get enjoyment out of, you know, whether it's a sport, whether it's an activity, and just put yourself out there. Go out there and meet people. There are so, there are like-minded people everywhere, but sometimes it just takes us getting really clear on actually what we enjoy rather than doing things that we've always done because we're trying to people please.
Yeah. Interesting. Really fascinating stuff already. So you mentioned obviously a bit about your personal journey at the start and how, you know, you got to where you are. But what about the next portion? So what happened then? So, you know, obviously you got going and
you know. I got going and it was hard. You know, I'll be honest, I walked away from that career 8 years ago. And for the first couple of years, so 2018, 2019, it was kind of like I was throwing spaghetti at the wall a little bit. So I wasn't treating my business. Yes.
Why aren't you sticking?
I know. I wasn't treating it seriously. Yeah. I wasn't treating growing a brand and a community seriously. And then it got to the point where the money was running out and it was either go back into the world that I knew that had almost killed me or it was, okay, let's get serious about this. Let's see how I can actually build this massive community that I've dreamed of building, and let's work for it, and let's be consistent. And so often we stop ourselves from doing certain things because we worry about what other people will think, or we're not seeing the results that we want to see straight away. And the fact is, the results don't happen overnight.
That they don't.
So overnight success is years in the making. Mm-hmm. Like, if you decide you want to run a marathon, you're not suddenly going to go out running every day for a week and achieve your personal best. You know, takes months and months and sometimes years to...
Consistency.
Absolutely. Consistency. It's the discipline as well. And I always say as well, you know, motivation can get you going, but it's the discipline that keeps you growing.
Oh, amen. Amen to that. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
And you're not always going to feel like it. And do you know what? 9 times out of 10, you're probably not going to want to get out of bed at 6 in the morning and go and train. But when you're working towards a bigger purpose and a bigger mission, like, always you have to get clear on what your why is. Like, why am I doing this action? Like, how is it gonna make me feel? Like, what is the impact that I'm gonna create off the back of it? So always circle it back to that.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting, because you say a lot of what I say to my clients all the time. Like, you know, motivation comes and goes, ebbs and flows. Every high there's a low, every low there's a high. Okay, but you just have to, it's about how you deal with it. It's about having that discipline and that consistency. And even when you want to be consistent and you can't, that's where the discipline takes over. It's about crossing the T's and dotting the I's every day, doing something. Just do.
Absolutely.
What I say to them, I say, just do. Doesn't matter how it looks, doesn't matter what it is, just do something.
100%. You know, I was in New York a few months ago on the US leg of my book tour. And I kid you not, I quite literally had a 10-minute window to get a workout in the hotel gym.
Oh, really?
It took me a minute and a half to get into the gym. And then I calculated that I only had 6 minutes to be able to do some form of exercise. So I got onto that treadmill. I literally pounded the treadmill for 6 minutes. And then it took me a minute and a half to get back to my room, and then a quick shower, turnaround.
Flawless afterwards, and you were like, I'm ready.
Oh, I wish I was flawless. But my point being is, so many other people would have thought, oh, 6 minutes? No, that's not enough time. So I'm not going to bother going to the gym today. But it's that mindset of, okay, this is the window I have. I'm going to maximize the window I have. And I felt great after those 6 minutes, and I felt accomplished, and I thought, you know, at least I've done something, and it was enough to get my heart rate up, and also to release those endorphins as well. So, you know, people use so many excuses that keep them stuck, or that stop them from almost, you know, creating a better life for themselves.
Yeah.
And it's time to just stop with the excuses and start taking the action.
I mean, I've, you know, smashed my head against the wall so many times, I don't actually have a roof anymore because I've got rid of all the walls. I just live in rubble because I just bang my head against the wall all the time with the amount of excuses I hear.
Yeah.
Just, like I say to people, you know, oh, I made a mistake, I'll start Monday. You've realised you made the mistake. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. At 9:01, start.
Exactly.
What? I can do that. Yeah, you can do anything. Just do. So, mindset.
Did you know that the average British person uses 5 excuses a day to get out of certain activities and plans? Whether it's healthy eating, whether it's making excuses not to do some form of exercise. But yeah, the average British person, 5 excuses a day.
That's a lot.
It is.
That's way too many.
Think about how many that is in a year. And where you could be if you actually, you know, did the thing and took the action.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, 6 to 12 months of consistency can really propel you in a half decent direction.
100%.
It's not going to get you where you want, but it's, you know, depending on what your goal is and whatnot, you know.
It's a start.
It's a very good start.
Yeah.
Do you ever struggle with self-doubt? And if so, how do you overcome it?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that everyone faces continuously. And I think when you're looking to do something new and something different, this is where it crops up more and more, because you're almost asking yourself that question of, or you're saying to yourself, you know, who am I to do this when you've not done something before?
Yeah.
And it also ties in a lot with imposter syndrome as well. It's like feeling like you're an imposter because you've not done it before. But I always invite people to almost pattern interrupt. So if you're suddenly doubting yourself about a particular thing, that's because you've got your voice in your head. Interrupt that voice with someone else's voice. The best way I do that is I actually listen to, you know, podcasts that almost really get me, like, stop me in my track.
Motivational stuff.
Like, I used to listen to a lot of Tony Robbins.
Okay.
You know, there's so many incredible podcast shows out there. But
oh, yeah.
Pattern interrupt, and the second you hear someone else's voice, you're no longer thinking about that thing. And also, it's about taking the action. The more you, so if you're doubting your ability to do something, do it anyway, because you don't know until you try. Like,
oh, so true.
The worst case scenario is you'll be in the exact same position that you were in before. And I always say that you only win or you learn. You never, ever lose. So just do something different to just get out of your head. And also, working out is amazing as well.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
It just gets your mind. Like, when you're working on your physical strength, it has such a massive impact on your mental strength.
Huge.
As well.
I really like full forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Full, but just full forwards.
Yeah.
Because at least you're further ahead than you were before, and that's what kind of learning is, really, isn't it? You know, we have to learn, adapt and grow, and so many people have that defeatist mentality.
I'm
hot on my clients when it comes to stuff like that, because it's important. You know, stop thinking that the world is out to get you. Sometimes we're unlucky, but just don't make excuses.
No, and also look for the evidence.
Yes.
Look for evidence of other people having done the thing that you want to do. If the evidence is there, which it always is, you know, if you want to be an astronaut, then you can actually, you know, I'm not saying it's going to, you can do that overnight, but with enough training, a decade from now, you can go ahead and completely make that change. So just look for the evidence. And also, there will be points as well where sometimes people project their own fears onto you.
Yes.
So if someone tells you that you can't do something, I'm always going to say to you, don't listen to that person.
Yeah.
They're just worried because they can't do it. Like, don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't do something or that you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Find the proof that someone else has done it, and then go out there and take the action and keep going.
Mm. Yeah, certainly agree. Certainly agree. So, was writing your book challenging, or did you find it quite natural as, like, your next step?
It was natural in terms of it was the next step in terms of the growth and evolution of the brand and of me. But hands down, anyone who's ever written a book will tell you it's one of the hardest things that you will ever do.
Okay.
It cracks you wide open, because you're almost sharing, you're going back into almost the archives, and you're identifying certain experiences that might have happened in the past, and you're looking to really educate and help the reader with a particular problem.
Yeah.
So you almost have to go back through that struggle, understand the learnings, but you're almost going through this process of, like, you're processing, you know, potentially, like, past traumas. But it's also very healing. It's one of the most healing things you can do. So it does come full circle. And at the end, like, you know, imposter syndrome definitely crops up a lot, because you're thinking,
I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't have.
You're very aware of the fact that this is going out into the public space. Like, people are going to read it. People are going to write reviews on Amazon. Critics are going to read it. And you have zero control over what other people are going to say. And you have to get okay with that. As long as you stand by what you're writing.
Oh, yeah.
And you believe it can impact, you know, even just one person's life.
Yeah.
Then the job is done.
One person, yeah.
Yeah, just and it creates a ripple effect. One person becomes two becomes four, so on and so forth.
Each person has to just tell one person.
Yeah. And then it just... it
multiplies.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
never
so true.
Underestimate the impact of that one person or that one encounter.
Yeah. No, you're so right. Yeah, you're so right. Right, last few questions, mm-hmm. Okay. How can someone start building confidence if they're feeling stuck?
Okay, if you're feeling stuck, I'd almost invite you to do a bit of a life audit. So look at all the different key areas of your life and mm-hmm. ask yourself, where is it that I feel stuck right now? And then look for someone who's already mastering that particular skill or that particular activity. Mm-hmm. Try and learn from them. Come up with a bit of an action plan. Take it step by step. Work your way methodically through that action plan. And what you'll find is little by little, a little becomes a lot. So a month down the road, you'll suddenly realise, oh my goodness, I started a month ago. I didn't really know what I was doing. I had no experience or confidence in this thing. But now I've actually already done this. And it is easier. And I feel like I can set myself an even bigger goal now.
Yeah.
So learn from people who are where you want to be. Come up with your own action plan. Take it step by step. And surround yourself as well with like-minded people and with content and with education that's really just going to boost your morale and lift you up and almost be that cheerleader for you as you're going out there and you're doing the thing.
Yeah, and that would probably go for the same for someone who's wanting to kind of change their life and doesn't know where to start as well, right?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Well, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. So, okay, two birds with one stone. It's great. Right, Maggie.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank
Where
you.
Can people find you? Social media, website, YouTube. Tell us, please.
Biggest platform is Instagram. We've got 2.3 million followers on there. So if you just go over to Instagram, look for thinklikeaboss.co. You'll find me on there. Website, www.thinklikeaboss.co. And LinkedIn as well.
Amazing. Maggie, thank you so much for your time. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Right, guys, coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by Dr. Nancy Allen, registered GP and founder and CEO of GP Direct Online.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Are you aware of the tea alarm?
Tell me more.
Yeah, so it's this cultural phenomenon that we have in Britain. It's an alarm at 3 p.m. Where everybody in the UK has to have a cup of tea, and if you miss it by a certain number of minutes, you get fined, basically.
This ain't real. This is not real. I'm not playing into this.
Yeah.
You think me watching Keeping Up Appearances, you think Mrs. Bouquet was missing a 3 o'clock tea alarm? Y'all won't get me.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When I've met people in the past, I'm like, oh yeah, I really love him, he's the one. But I just knew they weren't. I'd say it, but I knew I didn't mean it. But when I met you, there was a different feeling. Like, it's like your gut just tells you. When people used to say, when you know, I was like, oh, piss off. But when you know, you know.
When I met you and times got hard, I would come up with a strategy to make it better.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
So we've got Dr. Matt Morgan. Someone's heart stopped beating for 8 hours.
So he was stuck on a ledge in a freezing snowstorm. And his heart stopped for an amazing 9 hours. He's still the world's longest surviving cardiac arrest patient. And he lived because he was cold. You know, there's a saying, you're not dead until you're warm and dead.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Coming up now, we have Dr. Nancy Allen, who is a UK-based GP specialising in women's health, particularly menopause. And she's the founder and CEO of GP Direct Online and also runs a reset clinic. Is that correct? Dr. Nancy?
Yes. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Delighted to be on your show. It's called the Menopause Doctor Clinic in Chester.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So welcome. How are you today, by the way?
Fabulous. Good. Feeling very well. Had a nice yoga session last night after 12 hours in clinic, so I'm feeling very refreshed.
Refreshed and rejuvenated. We love to hear that. That's great. Let's dive straight into it, shall we? So, what happens in our body when we eat sugar, like sweets or, for example, white bread?
Well, the issue is the amount of sugar. So, the recommended daily allowance is about 30 grams. So, to put that in context, a can of Coke has 35 grams of sugar.
And that
is your entire daily allowance. So our body loves balance. Too much sugar causes the release of insulin. So too much insulin, and it creates an imbalance in the hormones consequently, and it causes weight gain and obesity and brain fogginess and slugginess and so on and so on. So it's not about just sugar, it's about having too much sugar and the type of sugar as well.
Okay, so quickly going off on, you know, how you said Coke, so that's a full fat Coke, correct?
Yes, that's got 35 grams, and that's your entire daily allowance in one can of Coke.
Okay.
That's shocking.
So, yeah, I mean, that is shocking, isn't it, really? You then also have the sugar-free alternatives, which are obviously pumped and laced with other things. Would you say that is a better alternative?
I wouldn't say a better alternative, because your body still detects the sweetness and it still thinks it's going to process sugar, and it doesn't necessarily stop your body trying to balance that by producing insulin. And insulin, obviously too much insulin, if I can go into that into detail later on, causes insulin resistance later on. And that has other consequences, other knock-on effects. So it's very complex, but our bodies like stability. It doesn't like high sugar diets, because that, as soon as you have sugar, the body tries to reach a homeostasis, a balance. And what it does, it releases insulin, and the insulin then processes it into the bodies and stores it where your body, the cells. So if you, to just break this down, think of your body as a house. Okay, that house has cells. Now the cells are the rooms. Now each room needs energy to switch the lights on. So to utilize that, you need a special key. Now that key is the hormone insulin. So as soon as you have sugar, insulin's released, and the special key, which is insulin, is what the body uses to let the energy be utilized within the cells, the rooms, to switch the lights on.
Okay.
So the problem is what happens when you have too much insulin. Now, the body becomes resistant, so the keys stop working and it stops letting the energy into the cells. And that consequently causes obesity, where you get a lot of fat laid down around the middle of your body, and cortisol levels start rising up, and then that leads on to mood issues and tiredness and fatigue and chronic stress and so on and so on.
Okay, so you obviously mentioned at the start why too much sugar is bad for our kind of energy, because it gives us those, you know, too much. But how much sugar would you say is too much? Because obviously you've mentioned 35 grams is the recommended amount, and a can of full fat Coke is 35. How much would be too much? Double that, triple that, quadruple, or just a little bit more, or literally 30 grams?
Literally 30 grams. So if you go above, to put that in context, so a teaspoon of sugar is 5 grams. Now, the problem we have, George, is that people don't know, or my patients don't realise, they think they're eating a healthy diet. For example, they'll have a cereal. And their cereal will say high fibre cereal, fortified with multivitamins and fibre, etc. But if you look at the sugar content, it's actually quite shocking. It's very, very high in sugar.
Yeah.
Another little thing is fruit yogurts. If it says low fat, they balance the taste of the low fat with adding in more sugar. People think they're eating, oh, I've just had a low fat yogurt for breakfast. Unfortunately, that's very, very high sugar. It can have up to, or another really common one, I've stopped doing it, is drinking orange juice. Now, if you have a glass of orange juice, which is a classic, you know, thing you have at breakfast, it can have up to 30 grams of sugar in a single glass of orange juice. And it's shocking. White bread, or even 50-50 bread, they add in loads of sugar. So I think look at the label and look at the word O's, so dextrose, maltose. They're the hidden laden sugars that we... Another one that I'm seeing quite commonly is high-protein bars.
Oh, the advertising is absolute genius. It is. I literally... If you go and look at a normal wrap and a high-protein wrap, there's only actually like a gram of difference, but you're paying twice the price, and you're also paying the price of your health, because all of these products are just very, very... intelligently marketed.
I think it should be made against the law to do that, because as soon as you look at high protein, you think, oh, because obviously we're in a high protein hype at the moment. Yes. Everybody's talking about protein and muscle food and etc. But you look at the labeling and you look on the inside, like you said, it's got way too much sugar. And then in one protein bar where you think you're having a healthy breakfast or a snack, you're actually spiking your insulin and causing more weight gain.
So with insulin, for the listeners, what exactly is insulin?
Okay, it is the magic key that helps your body, the cells that you need, like your muscle cells in your body that give you energy, to open it up and store the energy in the cells.
Okay.
Now, the problem, if you have too much sugar, your body then produces lots and lots of insulin. And over time, this leads to insulin resistance. Now, which means you can have a lot of sugar, but your cells, which like your muscle cells, etc., isn't actually getting the sugar it needs. So then you start having more and more sugar. So to break it down, a simple analogy. So if, let's say you're tucked up in bed and it's 11 o'clock at night and somebody rings the doorbell. Okay, so you get dressed, you go downstairs, you open the door, and you sort wherever the issue is.
Yeah.
You go back to bed. Then somebody 10 minutes later rings the doorbell.
How rude.
What do you do? You go back down again, open the door. Every 5 minutes, somebody keeps on ringing the doorbell. What are you going to do? You're going to start ignoring it. And that's exactly what your body does when you have too much sugar, which spikes too much insulin. You get the concept of insulin resistance. The cells don't start opening up to responding to the insulin surge that when you have too much sugar. And that is the classic example of insulin resistance. That doorbell keeps on ringing. You're going to start, the cells start ignoring it. That consequently leads to high cortisol levels, high sugar levels, poor sleep, the hormone imbalance, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, acne, stress, the whole cohort of what I see in my clinic. Now, fast forwards decade after decade, we've become an obese nation.
Oh, that we have. Yeah. There's it's not great. And it's, I was actually saying this last night, to a friend of mine. I was like, well, I look at people, you know, in their 60s and above. I said, you know, some don't have the best physiques, but a lot of them actually are quite lean and slender, but they used to cook in lard and they used to eat this and they used to eat that, and actually, you know, all these foods that were higher in fats but, you know, higher in protein and whatnot, they kind of had lots of everything. They didn't have all the rubbish in them.
Yes, so I love the word rubbish.
Yeah,
we tend to eat a lot of rubbish, like the sauces and added sugar in ketchup and sweet and sour this and noodles, like pot noodles. Have you looked at the sugar content in a pot noodle?
Nancy, you're making me hungry. I'm so starving. You're talking about foods and, you know.
It's convenient, but exactly. You know, I always say, if you, you know, to my patients, if you want to just eat healthy, say, oh, I'm going to sign up at a gym, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, just scale it back. Only eat something that you can actually grow out of the ground.
Yes.
Whole foods, something that we would have been able to catch when we were in the cave years.
Yes.
Something that's wholesome that you can see and observe.
80-20? I quite like the 80-20 split. I suggest that for a lot of people because they're like, oh, you know what's really scary as well? Obviously, we'll go back on to what we were talking about in a minute, but you know what's really scary? It's called dieting these days, when actually, years ago, it was just normal eating. We call eating chicken, broccoli and rice dieting. It's quite frightening, isn't it? But it's because we have so much processed stuff in our life that we seem to think that, you know, just when we eat a little bit cleaner or we eat a little bit better, that that's classified as dieting.
It is, because sadly, you know, all these super tasty foods are so abundant. Like, they come to you. You just press a button on an app.
Palatable foods.
And it comes to you, you know, in abundance. And you can have almost 1,000 calories a meal.
Oh, wow.
At the end of the day, after, you know, a full-on intake, your breakfast, your lunch, etc.
Yeah.
So it is. It is what it is. But it's not dieting. It's just eating healthy and resisting the temptation of, you know, succumbing to all these food ads. And but in, at least in the UK now, we have labelled, you know, the calorie content of what we eat when you go out in the takeaway or whatever. There's loads of swaps that are available.
Right. How does sugar make us feel more hungry, even if we've already eaten?
That is a really good question. Roller coaster. What do you feel like when you go on a roller coaster, George? What's it like? Describe that to me.
Well, A, I don't like roller coasters. And B, I actually exceed the weight limit on most of them because I'm a very heavy and dense individual. But when I went on them when I was younger, I always would feel very excited as I'm going up, and then I'm going down and I'm going,
And that is exactly what your body does when you have too much sugar. So you have too much sugar, you get this spike sugar surge, and then the body doesn't like roller coasters. It likes to sail in nice calm waters. So it goes, oh my God, there's too much sugar. Right, switches on all the insulin, starts releasing insulin, you get a spike of insulin, then you get this gush of energy, glucose into the cells. And then you get the sugar crash. It goes way down, just like where you were on a kid on that way down in the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Our body doesn't like that. It likes stability. So the up and down is very, very stressful. So when you have that crash, your body responds by spiking cortisol.
I'll let you continue.
So cortisol is your body's stress hormone. So too much cortisol, what does that do? It causes anxiety, causes weight gain, it causes mood instability, and it lowers your immunity. So you need that stability. You need slow-burning carbs that your body can process without that roller coaster up and down effect.
Does it also, I can never remember, I always get them wrong, ghrelin and leptin. One is your hunger hormone and one is your appetite suppressant, isn't it? I can't remember which one. Is it your ghrelin that gets spiked as well, which causes you to be more hungry, or I can't remember?
Well, it's a really good question. So ghrelin is your hunger hormone.
Yeah,
so
was, yeah.
If you think of your stomach as a balloon, so let's say when you're full, it stretches. Mm-hmm. So it's full of water, it's stretched, it's nice and happy. Yeah. But once you process the food 3 hours later, that balloon empties and it becomes empty. So once it's empty, there's a gastric brain access and it releases the hormone ghrelin, tells the brain, hey, the stomach's empty now, you need to start eating. So your brain starts hunger searching, you know, looking for food. Now, leptin, on the other hand, is produced by fat cells. And once you've had enough food, it will tell your brain, hey, I'm happy, I've got loads of food in abundance, you need to stop eating. But when you have too much sugar, what happens is that leptin stops working.
That was it. Okay.
To make matters worse, your brain in the hypothalamus has a set point. So, yeah, say your set point is at, you know, when you're in your, say, 21, your set point is at 75 kilos. Mm. But more and more sugar, you gain weight, your set point gradually increases. So over a decade, you're up to 85 kilos. Now your body will start fighting you even though you're overweight. So you get more and more ghrelin to stay at that high set point. Wow. So it's so hard to actually lose weight. Mm. And then you add in later on when you get hormonal imbalances or a challenge in the menopause or perimenopause, it's just a losing battle. It's so hard. Throw in cortisol, you get more belly fat. And so what do you do? How do you beat the cycle?
Well, you eat a little bit less and you move a little bit more and you just do it consistently.
In a nutshell, it is. So exercise is really, really good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of key factors. I know probably bored of exercise, but just walk after a meal.
Oh my Lord, so good.
One thing I will say is that if you have to have sugar, always have it after a meal. So you can control and limit sort of the impact of your insulin is by avoid snacking. So if you were to have a dessert, but have it after a meal. Mm. And then the other thing to have is to walk after the meal to just help process the utilization of that and the insulin resistance. And it just helps reduce that. Another added benefit of exercise, it boosts your dopamine and serotonin. Mm. It stimulates your mitochondria, which is your cells, Duracell batteries. It boosts them. So it helps regulate your blood sugars and your metabolism.
Yeah, I mean, I walk after work and dinner most nights for an hour. So I would have dinner.
Excellent.
So like last night, I went for a walk at 10 o'clock because that's when I finished. Had to get it done, you know, and I felt better, you know, had dinner and I did my thing and then there we go. We're all good. That's what I suggest to people. So, yeah. Right. So what is a sugar crash? We've explained the roller coaster metaphor and analogy, but why does it make us feel so drained?
It's literally after you've gone way up, you've had that high sugar, your body switches on the keys, opens the door, so the glucose goes in the cells in the room, switches on the energy, and then when it's processed from super high, it crashes, goes really low, and then the blood sugars drop, and then you feel very drained and lethargic and sleepy. And so the worst thing you want to do is have sugar at bedtime because that also affects your melatonin regulation. And so your deep sleep's affected, your concentration's affected, and you need deep sleep and a healthy melatonin cycle for just being focused and in metabolism. So it's so important to try and not have that high sugar surge because after it, due to processing the high insulin and it pushes the sugars into the cells to switch on the lights, for example, back to that house analogy, it then crashes and the body doesn't like that. So the answer is to have, if you're going to have sugar, have it after a good healthy meal, walk after that and help your gut. So another way to help your gut is to have fiber with your diet. Mm-hmm. So the recommended daily allowance is 30 grams of fiber. Now, I struggle to have 30 grams of fiber. So I would just have celery. Yeah, I just put celery into the Nutribullet, and I would just have serine lemon. That helps me get my thick. But people, you know, things like cruciferous vegetables and kale and etc. 30 grams is a hell of a lot, yeah. But you know, I just use my Nutribullet to get that. To be honest,
okay. And obviously, you mentioned sugar around sleep time. So poor sleep and too much sugar, you know, they make each other worse. Right? That's what you say.
They do, yes. It dysregulates your melatonin production in the brain because, again, you're spiking insulin, your blood sugars are high, and it causes a direct dysregulation. So try and avoid, well, I always say avoid eating after 6 p.m. So I would carb load and do all of my food before 6, but generally after 6 p.m. If I'm really hungry, I'd have just a natural Greek yogurt. No added sugars, nothing, plain, just Greek yogurt.
Okay. That leads me on to my next question. What can we eat or do to help our bodies have more balanced energy without so many ups and downs? So you've just mentioned 6 o'clock is a good cut-off point for food.
Yeah.
What about foods in general?
That's a really, really good question. I'm going to go back to the whole food, something that you could either farm or catch when we were in the cave. That's just scale it back and always ask yourself, is this something like you don't want to be eating processed foods? They're laden with all these O's, you know, going back to the O's formula. Just check the labels, make sure it hasn't got O's. So, for example, oats. Oats is a low GI index food, so it doesn't spike insulin. Your body will continue to process it. Mm. Having high fiber, you're forcing your body to work harder to extract the energy out of it without that sudden spike and crash of insulin and as a response to the high sugar intake. So again, try and avoid having smoothies, having orange juice. Porridge is a natural, raw cut oats is a really good thing to have, eggs, etc. So changing what you eat, incorporating fiber. If you've got to have sugar, have it after a meal and then just walk after. So you've got to scale back and just look and read the labels and the sugar content. So even if it says, you know, a high protein ice cream, if it's got an O's in the ingredients, just put it straight back and just walk away.
Okay. Right. Dr. Nancy Allen, this has been very insightful. Thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you online? Have you got social media? Have you got YouTube, LinkedIn? Have you got a website? Please. Tell us.
Yes, I'm on the Menopause Doctor Chester or GP Direct online. I'm on all of those websites. I'm on the social media handles, which I can share with you later on.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day. And speak to you soon.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Right, guys, coming up after this short break, we'll be doing some listener questions.
FUBAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
It was calm on the beach. So I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind. And it blew us out to sea. Faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson. From these guys. The crew. Who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, yeah, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I wanna find happiness and I need him to be kind.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins,
that's a Geordie Shore thing,
has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
What the hell? With Georges Bertineau. Exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Now, we're going to be doing some listener questions. If you have any fitness questions or anything health and fitness related and you want to get involved, you can DM us at What the Health Show on Instagram. So the next question on this one is, is there a right way to train if your goal is overall strength and mobility, not just looking fit? Yes, there is. Now, there is, but there also isn't. The positive side of weight training, even if it's just strength training, unless you eat incredibly insane amounts of calories and food and you want to be a strong man or a strong woman, the positive byproduct of it all is that you will have a better body composition. So you will end up looking fitter. But mobility is great, and strength training is equally as great. Doing your main priority here is going to be doing exercises at full range. So a squat, for example, you want to get really strong at the bottom, not just at the top of the movement. That will also help you with your mobility because it will kind of force you into the right position. Just using squatting as an example, your programming has to be spot on, making sure you're training every muscle group and you're training everything to the right amount of volume and load, because otherwise you will get a lot of fatigue, more likely to get injured, your tendons will hurt, and then all of a sudden that's going to affect your lifting and your results. If you are a experienced lifter, you're looking at maybe 0.25 to 0.5 of a kilo increase in strength every week to 2 weeks, which is very small. But if you are a experienced lifter of 5, maybe 10 years, then that's pretty normal. If you're a beginner, then your ceiling is absolutely exciting, and I cannot wait for you to experience that because you're going to get some incredible results. Next question is, how do you break through a plateau when you feel like your workouts aren't doing much anymore? Honest answer? Well, I've got two answers for this, actually. The first one is get a coach. If you aren't truly sure on what you're doing, and you're not sure on why you're plateauing, a coach will help you with this. Get someone that doesn't just look how you want to look, because that's a bit of an old wives' tale. You training like someone is going to make you look like them. Get a coach that understands and knows how to program and also knows how to help you. You should be changing things up every 6 to 10 weeks, 10 weeks maximum. If you are an everyday general population individual and you don't really train for much, then just kind of like overall health, but you're also wanting to not plateau as much, then less than 10. But otherwise, 10 is absolutely fine. So I would say have a week or two of less reps, less sets, and then start a new program. and just try something new, get stronger, and just enjoy your new program. And the next question is, I know mindset matters, but how do you actually stay mentally strong on days when you feel totally unmotivated or off track? Well, like we spoke about with Maggie earlier, just do. Just do it. Make it happen and start now. Stop making your five excuses a day and just get on with it. And that is it from me, guys. Just a roundup of the show and a massive thank you to the guests, Dr. Nancy and also Maggie. Thank you for joining us today on What the Health. Guys, a reminder that you can download the app and listen each week and follow us on social media. We are at What the Health on Instagram. If you want any help with your health and fitness goals, I also provide a top-tier coaching service, which is no BS, problem-solving and hand-holding. You can get in contact with me at George Burt. The show is also available to listen back to on all good podcasting platforms. Just a massive thank you from me. I'll be back next week at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. I'm George. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Love you. Bye.
Foo Bar Radio.